Morning Only Believe Church. Do you know you are a church of greatness? I looked up the word. I felt I'm going to encourage them this morning with the word greatness. I had to look it up. It means that you understand that there is an adversary out there and that you're not afraid. You don't back off. You simply step up to the plate and begin to surrender your situation to God and allow Him to take over. That means you are great. Amen? Because He is. And you're living a life of greatness. I don't think you believe that. I know it's humid. It is very sticky. My hair is very fuzzy, but who cares? I'm here to celebrate the greatness of who God is. And because He's great, so am I. Because when I am weak, He is then made strong in my mountain, right, that faces me. Hallelujah. I'm kind of excited, I think, today a little bit more than you are, but that's all right. You'll get there. Today, before we get started, we have two teams that have headed out. One early this morning, a bunch of teenagers and four very brave adults, as Pastor Tim would say, are all on their way to Florida where they are doing a missions trip. And you're like, Florida, what type of missions trip is that? Trust me, they're going into a place where they grow ferns. It's the biggest fern greenhouse houser all over America, where all international people work. I'm going to call it that. They're not Americans. They don't obviously all speak English, but they are going in to share the gospel with all of these migrant workers and to share their faith. Praise God, because we need to pray for them boldness to be empowered to go in there, because the first thing the devil tries to do to us as Christians is tell us to be silent and to get us to be inward about our faith and tell us that no one wants to hear what you have to say. That's a lie of the devil. And if he's telling you that, then that proves to me that he's got a hold of your tongue. So you got to tell him to get behind you, because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, boldness and power comes upon you. And we need these kids to understand for the rest of their lives that God's called them into a world that needs to hear the gospel. And then number two, 10 o'clock, our team just headed out from OBM, Maine. Eric, my husband, Pastor Randy, and Andrew are all heading out to meet another team midway. I'm not sure where they meet, but they'll all be going to Africa to do our Africa crusade in Kissimmee, Kenya this year. So let's pray if you would. Okay. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we start our service today, not about us, Father, but we start our service about praying for those that have gone before us. Father, we pray for those youth. Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the living God would arrest those children, arrest their hearts, Father, as they begin to share the gospel, Lord, that they would see people respond, that they would see doors broke down. I rebuke you, devil, from replacing it with this spirit of fear, for God has given them a spirit, oh, of a sound mind and power in the name of Jesus. Father, they would not back down, but they would be emboldened in their faith and come back, Father, changed in their walk with you, Father, knowing, God, that what they did there, they can do here. Now, Father, I thank you that you prepare the way for our Kenya trip, Father God, that as every airplane would take off the tarmac, Father, that you've got them. We plead the blood of Jesus over our men and women that are going, Father, this year. And Father, I thank you. I break supernaturally the curses of witchcraft that they try to put on those sites where our people stand, Father. I rebuke the enemy and his power. He has none in the presence of Jesus. We take that authority back. And Father, we thank you that the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. Those who are emotionally broken would find peace, Father, from the storm. Those who are mentally tormented, Father, would be healed and give a testimony to their team and to their county or into their communities in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for supernatural healings, that you would get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all, but we'll take all the rest too. Amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to be honest with you. Dad always taught me, when you don't have a topic, preach faith. That was his answer for everything. I said, Dad, I don't know what to preach, so preach faith. Never fails. So after this week of going through the week of Pentecost, I don't know about you, but my faith was stirred. My faith was stirred. And I normally don't teach on a Sunday out of something that I'm kind of walking out on my own. I do those on Wednesday nights. So if you're not a Wednesday night goer, That's where I share some of my personal struggles and what I go through. But I really felt this was important. I've been fighting the fight of faith in the area of healing. And the other day, I went to sit down, and when I did, out of my mouth came, ugh. And the Holy Spirit checked me, and he said, it takes the same amount of energy to say, ugh, as it does, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And devil, I don't receive what you're trying to put on me. So I believe that today I'm going to preach out of a position of where I'm at. And let me tell you, sometimes the fight comes easy and sometimes the fight comes hard. But what I'm going to teach you today, if you can truly get a hold of, it is a key element to walking out your faith. And if this element is not a part of your walk of faith, trust me, you will get weary, you will get weak, and in the end, you will toss in the towel and say, you know what? It just doesn't work. So I want to remind you about some things today. Now, I'm going to go back to some of my younger roots. And for all of you KJVers out there, for those of you that don't know, that is the King James Version. You're going to all be in heaven today because every scripture is out of the King James. I know you're out there. I have not forgot you. Trust me, you're there. Let's start though. I want to leave no due time. I don't have anything to catch you up on. We're just going to start straight in the word. So let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. And these are in the red letters for those of you that have them. And for all of you new kids on the block, you're just going to have to deal with the whosoevers and the thous, but you'll get to it. Trust me, I'm going to break it down for you. It says, for verily I say unto you, that what whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now first, let's address the word verily, because I know there's some of you youngers that have no clue what that means. It says, I simply mean the truth. Truthfully speaking, I'm going to tell you a truth if you'll listen. Now mind you, that the Bible tells us, this is red letters. This isn't Pastor Nicole speaking. This isn't Pastor Randy. It's not the prayer team. It's not the fivefold ministry. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is telling you a biblical truth. And if you can grab a hold of this truth and put it to work in your life, it will not fail. He says, whosoever believes in this mountain moving power. Here's the thing. How many of you believe in this house today in the power of Jesus's death and resurrection? Amen. Now, well, that tells me that only half of our church believes. How many of you believe in the death and resurrection of the power of Jesus? Amen. Then that tells me that you are a whosoever. You believe in Jesus and his death. Listen, everything you need is in the belief in him. Listen, don't get all caught up. Well, I don't have enough faith. You don't need faith in your faith. You need faith in Jesus Christ. And the more you know about Jesus, then the more faith that comes into your being. And let me just say, this is like, faith is like a bag with holes in it. If you don't constantly fill it, it's draining out. Why? Because to live in this life takes faith every single day. To believe that Jesus is in existence when you don't see him walking next to you. To believe that God is real when people say things like, then if God's real, then why are all the children starving in Africa? Right? These are real questions that people have a hard time reconciling. This depletes who you are, and it tries to bring doubt and misbelief into who you are. But notice what the Bible does say. It says, whosoever saith, not thinks, he whosoever saith, not thinks about the mountain, not talks about the mountain, whoever saith to the mountain. Talk to the mountain and command it to move. And don't doubt in your heart and you shall have it. Now, how many of you in your life today have little mountains, medium mountains, and big mountains? Okay, I'm talking right to you. Because everything you face in your life has a degree. It's either a small mountain that you don't give much attention to. By the way, those that are small that you don't give attention to usually turn into middle ones. And then the middle ones turn into the large ones because you ignore them and act like they're not a problem. Just from a little bit of, you know, my own problem I've had here. We've all got a mountain in our life. What do they look like? Is it a pride? Is it a mountain of pride? Is it a mountain of insecurity? Is it a mountain in our marriage that pride's involved in? That the insecurity of your youth has bled into your marriage. Oh, here's a good one. How about this isn't your first marriage, it's your second marriage, and you're making the second marriage pay for all the first marriage problems because you really have insecurities about your first marriage and you can't walk in the fullness of the second marriage because you're too busy living in the past marriage. We all have mountains. We all have struggles. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's greed. But these mountains, the Bible tells us that if we will say to the mountain, what are we supposed to say? Well, let me tell you this. You can believe one thing and you can say something else. I'm going to tell you, when I went to sit down, I believe that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. But out of my mouth came, oh, not I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Why? Because the devil was working in the pain area of my life. He was working on what I could feel and what I could see and what I saw and what I could feel was I wasn't sleeping at night and I'm in pain and I want delivered. Yet what I believe is that Christ is the healer. I've seen it 100 times, if not thousands of times. I believe in Christ as the healer. But when the struggle comes and when the pressure stays and it doesn't leave, you ever had a toothache? Oh, come on. I know there are two pains worse in the world. Tooth pain and eye pain or ear pain. Any of those three. It's the worst stuff ever. Why? It doesn't let up. The devil knows that if he don't let up on your situation, that he starts to wear down your 5 senses and your faith begins to drain. But if you will keep speaking, he that saith, if you will begin to speak what God says about your situation to your mountain, your faith bag won't lose its faith. You're not dripping and leaking out your faith, but you're holding it in there because you're filling it as fast as the world is trying to take it out. What if I said that the church might not have a belief or faith problem, but we might have a mouth problem? See, we set out with the right idea. We set out, you're going to leave today's service and you're going to be empowered and you're going to say, I'm going to do what Pastor Nicole said, and then tomorrow's going to come. And when tomorrow comes, you're not going to realize that the word that was planted today, that the second you stood up off that seat and you wrote that note and you lost it because it blew out the window on the way home, that the devil came to steal the word the second we deposited it into your heart. He came to steal it with busyness. He came to steal it with, oh, this is needed. This is needed. Oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, I'll get to it Monday in my prayer time with God. Then I'm going to do what Pastor Nicole asked. And before you know it, Thursday's here, Friday's here, Sunday's here. Then Sunday comes, it's Father's Day. You get what I'm saying? Where is our tongue steering our lives? See, James says that the tongue is like a rudder on a big, big ship, and it determines where this ship goes. If you don't like the trajectory of your life, then the first place you have to look is right here. Because out of the heart doth the mouth speak. And you say you believe, yet the words out of your mouth are moaning and complaining about your situation. So you don't call your friends to talk about God and what he's doing in the area of the situation. You call your friends and you say, you don't know what I've been through this week. You don't understand the pain I've been in. I just don't know how I'm going to take no more. You want to know who's listening? The devil's listening. He can't read the thought that's in your mind. When you've got that thought that says you should call Joan and tell her how bad it is, no, don't do it, because when you give in and you repeat the matter, you repeat the struggle, all you do is talk about the mountain that is in front of you. Rather than speaking to the mountain, the devil just starts taking notes. Oh, we're about 3 weeks in and she's starting to break. Let me write that down. My dad used to say that the devil's like, this is not biblical, this is just an analogy. The devil is like a locksmith. And he's sitting in the driveway right outside your house, and he's got this van, and all the windows are black. It looks like a van incognito where there's detectives in it, and they got all these screens. He said, and he's watching your life. And I'm going to give you this. I'm just going to give you the example my dad gave me. He said, Nick, it's like lust. He said, every person in this world has a type, but the devil has to find the type. So the devil sends across a man's path one woman. But he doesn't look at her. He doesn't look on her in a wrong way. In fact, she doesn't even gain his attention. So he's like, well, not that one. So he sends another one. Well, this one's got something, but he's not sure what, because the guy takes a look and then sees his wife's look and he looks away. No, hear me out. I'm giving you a real scenario. Third time, he sends another type. But this time, the wife isn't with her husband. No one's around watching. And he looks upon her and he lusts after her. Now, in a man's heart, he's done committed adultery. Now the devil has a type. He said he takes off the master key to that man's life, pulls it down, puts it in the machine, and makes a notch. Takes the key, hangs it back up. The rest of the key is blank, but he's got one notch. I know what makes the man tick with women. It's all I needed. And he patiently waits. And he listens to what's coming out of your mouth. Then the male's mad at home. I can't believe I worked 72 hours and all I got was $300. Oh, he has a struggle with provision. Let me take that key. If I can keep him busy, he won't be able to have time because he seeks after money. He puts another notch in the key and patiently holds it back up. Over your life, he fashions a weapon. That if you don't realize when you're down, when you're out, when your faith bag is empty and there's not one drop left, that's when he puts the key in. And that's when he turns it. When you don't believe what God's word said, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And when he turns the key and your whole life falls apart, you fell for the woman, you're locked up in greed, you don't love your family, you've forsaken everything you have, you quit going to church because you didn't have time to go to church because you were so busy making money and turning like a wheel looking for a carrot, like constant, that before you know it, everything you had faith in is lost. Because he sits and patiently waits and listens and watches your movement. Let me tell you something. James says to resist the devil and he will flee. Do you realize that the way... Jamie and Jesse came up to me on Saturday prayer. They have no clue they're a part of this message. And they said, Pastor Nicole, we want to pray for your back. And I said, okay, thank you. They said, you want to know why? Because we saw you. Do you know that you can resist the devil with your actions? Do you know what? They should have never seen that action from me holding my back. You want to know why? Because I was submitting myself to the enemy. You know what they should have saw? Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm pain free in the name of Jesus. That's what they should have saw. Shame on me. Shame on me that I didn't resist the devil at all costs in my body. That the devil was watching me. And took my key off the thing, put a little notch. Oh, we're about 3 weeks in. Don't give him an inch or he'll take a mile. He's watching. He's listening. He's everything about it, what you talk about. Listen, he's listening. We're not to be saying the problem. We're to be speaking to the problem, God's will in our situation and what's going to happen. Proverbs 18, 20, 21 says that pretty much what you say is what you're going to produce. And then you're going to eat that fruit. So if all you say is, I'm sick of the struggle, I hope you like being sick of the struggle because you fed it right to yourself. It says you eat the fruit of your lips. So when your lips produce good, you're eating good and feeding it back to yourself. What's it doing? It's giving you good food. When you produce bad, you turn around and you feed yourself poison. Poison according to the word. And literally, you're making yourself more sick. Your mouth is everything. In this scripture, it doesn't say he whosoever saith once. Doesn't say whosoever saith twice. Whosoever believeth and saith three times. He didn't say believe three times. He said believe once. Tells me what you say is real important to what you believe. Amen? And we can't live a double-sided corn. We can't be one way and then another way. For a man that is unstable in that area is unstable in all of his ways. We must realize that what comes out of our mouth can have death power or life power. And it takes the same amount of energy to say either. And what you say is what you're going to get. Now, don't just say this is mind over matter. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the written word of God. I think that it's important that we as a church understand that we can still say we believe. We can still say that we have peace and walk in anxiety and fear. You can still say that you believe in the provision of God and still speak poor mouth. No, we don't have the money for that. No, we don't have the money for that. Well, all you're doing is constantly saying you don't have the money for that. When really, my mom has a saying. I'll tell you what her saying is. I told her, I said, Mom, you cannot say you don't have the money for that. You have the money for that. No, I really don't. I'm like, go get it out of your bank. You do have the money for it. She's like, no, I do. Oh, I said, no, you really don't want to go to the bank and get the money for what you want. So she came up with this idea. She said, instead of speaking poor talk, I say that is not a priority right now. Isn't that wonderful? So if I say, hey, Mom, let's go do this. She's like, no, that's not a priority right now. She doesn't say, no, I don't have the money for that. Why? Because she's not going to say, believe that Christ is her provision and then begin to speak that she doesn't have the things that she has need of. That's not how she is. So in your life, where do you believe something that Jesus is provision, that he's the one who meets all your needs, that he's the one that brings you true emotional freedom? And then do you speak, oh, I'm just dealing with anxiety and fear today. I don't know how to arrest this in my heart. I just don't know what to do. You do know what to do. Speak to the mountain, and the mountain will move on your behalf. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some mountains aren't moved in an instant. Some mountains are moved stone by stone. Some have a big old dozer in there, and that's beautiful. I love to see it immediately done. But sometimes that's not the way it goes. And you can't grow weary in well-doing when you're working with faith. Remember, some things take time. And that's okay. Because when there's things that take time, that means I'm being built in the meantime. God's doing something in me that he wants to finish, that he wants to complete. The reason the church tells us, or the pastors tell us so much, to get our minds in the Bible is because if you don't understand what it is that the Bible says you can have, you won't know what to say. You don't get to just say what you think is right, because that's not the way the kingdom works. This kingdom has a law. This kingdom has a blueprint to the way it works. It's like a contract, if it were, a covenant. The New Testament and the Old Testament. You know what Testament means? Covenant. It's a new covenant. There's an old covenant. There's a new covenant. We live in the new covenant. Doesn't mean that we do away with the old. It means that the old is a part of the new. But we're in the new covenant where grace is a part of our life. Amen? And we don't have to have sacrifice the way we did because Christ is our true sacrifice. But I would love to see what would happen if you and I went to the scripture and found one word from God that we truly believed about our situation. And that's the only word we spoke. Someone say only. Whew. Let's turn to Matthew 8, the fifth chapter. Very, very well-known story. It's about the centurion. And we're going to start in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. For all you ladies out there, I think his house was a wreck, and he didn't want Jesus to see it at that moment, so you know. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followed, Verily, or truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And down in the 13th chapter, or in the 13th verse, it said, And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, this is the question I have for you. The centurion was speak the word only. Here we are, that we have Jesus speaking. Have we began to desire more? Have we began to desire seven steps to healing? Have we began to go, oh, I need to go to Bible college to really understand what God's saying about healing? Because I got to answer all the whys. No, you don't. No, you don't. The only thing you have to do is believe what the word of God is saying and act on it. Well, Pastor Nicole, you don't understand my history. I've done that before and it didn't work out. I don't care. Act on it. Believe the word and act on it. Trust me when I tell you, there's some things in my life that I can't answer why to you. I wish I had a notebook of why this happened and why this happened and why that happened, but I cannot tell you. What I can tell you is that I know my God is good, and I know that my God cannot lie. And if he cannot lie, then this word is true. And if I say it, then I believe it and I act upon it. He said, whosoever will, I will. Do it. Amen. Amen. Church, do you believe that in your hearts? Yes. Then that means those mountains that you've left alone. Some of us, we can look through our back mirror and the whole mountainside has mountains because you won't speak to it. And you just let them keep building it up and you think you're living in the Smoky Mountains. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing that people look into my life and see mountains that I have not used my faith on, that I have not taken time to speak to, when the answer is right here in the Word. That if I would get one scripture that would speak to me, one scripture. Let me talk. Okay, this word that's in here right now is called logos. Logos. And it means it's a simply written word of God, right? Logos. This is what we do. We read logos, and he entered into a man over and came into his own city, and behold, this is what we do. But have you ever been reading the Bible, and as you're reading it, something leaps off the page at you, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, that's a good nugget. And you get out your pencil or your highlighter and you highlight it. Or some of you write it on a card and you keep that card with you. Some of you, if you're my mom, you print it on a piece of paper and you put it on the bathroom wall. Some of you have them in your cars, on your dashboard. Some of you carry them with you on a regular basis. Why? Because that word spoke to you. That word came out of logos and came into a rhema word, meaning that the Holy Spirit awakened it to your heart. He awakened it to your life. And now you have faith in Jesus, in that word, and it's become alive and it is applied to your situation. And whatsoever you sayeth when you believeth, what you say, you shall have it. Some of you won't take the time. Listen to me. I can't give you your rhema word. I can't give it to you. You have to go get it. That's the process. See, your rhema's different to you because you're different than I am. God knows you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And he's like, I know what it's going to take to get this person to believe. They believe in me, but I got to give them a word that they can eat on. Okay, your sheep, the Bible often refers to us as sheep, right? Sheep are crud cutters. Have you ever heard that? Crud cutters. Here's what they do. They eat their food. Cud. Is that why I said, did I say crud? It's cud. Cud chewers. Cud chewers. Listen, they chew it up. They swallow it. They regurgitate it. Chew it up some more. Swallow it. Regurgitate it. And chew it some more. This is what they do. You and I in the Bible, as sheep of God's, because Jesus is our shepherd, take his word, put it in our mouth, chew it up, swallow it, bring it back up when the situation gets too hard to stand. Chew it some more, swallow it again, remember, repeat. And when we do, let our souls be satisfied with what God gave us, and let the word be our source. Let the word be enough to walk us through the situation when we can't sit down in a chair without moaning. Let God be the source. Let the cud that I chew be enough to come back up, refuel my faith, be swallowed, sit down again, and get back up and keep on going. You are a cud chewer. God didn't choose to use the word sheep for nothing for you. He knows exactly what you're supposed to do. But what I'm going to tell you is I can't get your meal. You have to get your meal. You have to know that you know that you know that it come from a relationship, pining after God, sitting in the scripture. And I'm going to talk to you youngers, okay, because this used to be me. Lord, Lord, lead me to your verse. And it came to pass after 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. That has nothing to do with healing. That has nothing to do with the mountain that is standing in front of me. So this doesn't work. Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you. I need you to lead me to a source that I can eat, that I can swallow, that I can spit back up, that's not going to lose its power in my life, that I'm going to understand and that I'm going to know, and that it's going to be written upon my heart, that it's going to come from the pages of Logos and turn into Rhema for my life, and it's going to transform my situation. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I can't get it. You have to get it. Now, for some of you, that maybe look different. If you're a new generation, oh, I'm going to share this. I probably shouldn't share it now. I was going to share it in a future message, but I'll listen to the Holy Spirit. The other day, we found a survey from a company named Gloo, G-L-O-O, who give out statistics about youth today. They found out that 34% consider ChatGPT as a spiritual authority in their life. Why am I saying that? Because then they surveyed the world who doesn't know Jesus. And they asked them the exact same question. And only 15% of the world thought that ChatGPT was a spiritual authority. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is your spiritual authority. Your local church and the people that labor among you are your spiritual authority. Because ChatGPT said it was rule, Gospel 101, it might not be. All it is a menagerie of people who have all flooded the internet, and they go through based on your search engine and see what you want to know. So, Chris, you could ask ChatGPT what salvation means, and I could ask ChatGPT what salvation means, and you could get a different answer than I got based on what you've been searching. Do you get that? Church, we're in a place of dangerous place when we don't literally depend on the Word of God and go here to get our source. Amen. I get there are, I don't even know. Here we go. Let's see. Oh, there is a glossary or an index back here. I don't know what it was because I don't pay attention to that. Concordance. 803 pages in this Bible right here. And this is a small one. I'm going to be honest with you. Doesn't have a lot of other writings in it. 803 pages. I get you don't want to read all 803, but I'm here to tell you that you can use resources online that are good biblical resources other than ChatGPT. And I'm not going to say sometimes ChatGPT isn't the right source to find a scripture, but what I'm telling you is that there's something about opening the written Word of God, thumbing through the pages that are so tender, that are made out of rice, that have a weird sound with the gold foiled edges, that looks 1,000 years old. I don't care. There's something about it that stills my heart and relaxes my soul to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you that some of you need to open up your Bible and say, Holy Spirit, begin to lead me to this rhema word that my life needs right now. That God, I don't understand what I need, but I know that your Spirit does. And when he will just speak and drop the wisdom in my heart that I need, I will do that which you've asked. And for those of you that do use a concordance, pick out your big old 4,000-page book. Bam! Open it up and go through every word that you need to find. If you have a problem with fear, there's over 300 scriptures in this Bible on fear. Fear not. Be strong and courageous. Why? Why? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, what type of fear do I have? Do I have fear of man? Do I have fear of storms? Do I have fear of losing all of my security and money? What is your fear? There's a diagnosis. Trust me, it's in the written word. And you can come to your church and you can ask for ideas and we can help lead you in the right direction, but we cannot pick your rhema word. Are you loving this? Yes. Proverbs 4:20-22, and we're going to close today. Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. You know, I was reading my own scriptures that I've wrote down for my own life this week, and I shipped one to a lady in the church, and it literally said that you can say words that come out like the piercings of a sword. Or a wise man will only use its tongue to promote health and life. It goes for the same thing for our own life. It's not just about speaking about others. It's about speaking to your situation. And that sometimes you realize that if I would just do this scripture alone, for they are life to those who find them. Got to go look for them. It's like a treasure hunt, and it's amazing if you'll go look for them. And health to all their flesh. This rhema word is health to you and I. One of the greatest things you could do is if you're emotionally sick, if you're mentally sick, if you're physically sick, is read the written word of God. Read the written word of God. It says, he sent his word, God. He sent his word and healed them of all their disease. not partial, all their disease. You name it, it's covered by the blood and by the word of God. Amen. And that word came in the form of a man as Jesus. But when you read his word and you say it, it changes your situation. Now we're going to go back to Mark 11, and I promise we are closing. 11:23, because now knowing what we know, we're going to read it with fresh eyes. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whew. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, by the way, this is desire according to the word of God. These are not things that you want outside of God's will. We should just clarify that for some of us. When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Church, a rhema word will do an amazing part for our life. Please stand to your feet if you would. I'm going to give you a challenge this week. I want you to grab the biggest mountain in your life. And I know I'm challenging you with homework for a reason. Because homework's important for you to follow through and do. Christians are great at hearing the word. We're great coming to church and playing church on Sunday. And then on Monday, forget what we are and who we are and whose we are. So I'm giving you homework to keep you diligent and to keep your hand to the plow. I want you to look at the biggest mountain in your life, and I want you to go find a rhema word. Now, I'm going to tell you, this might not be 10 scriptures you have to go through. It might be 20. And for those of you just beginning, I'm trying to think of a good search engine or a search place that I would use. I'm not allowed to do that. Never mind. I can't do that online. I can't champion someone else. If you're using a search to come and don't know the person that it's from, come. Go find out about what that person is. And don't just take online for granted. And you should never be looking at online without your open Bible right next to you, thumbing through the scriptures together. Okay? Through the Bible together. Never take someone's word for the Bible rather than looking at the Bible. Never. It will set you up for failure. I'm telling you, we're coming into a time that I wonder if the Bibles weren't all taken away from us, would the church be able to recall what the words of God said? Would there be enough word written on our hearts that we could survive? Or would we all wound up dead because we didn't have enough word to keep us alive? Church, we live in America and it's a blessed place that we have a Bible. But I'm telling you, in this world, it's going to wax worse and worse as the day and age comes. And we're not guaranteed that the same comforts we have, we're going to have later. We must be diligent while there's still time to work. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want you to go get your rhema word. And then I want you to put it somewhere. I don't care where you put it. I don't care if it's your car. Everyone's got a different place where they do what they do. If you're a woman and you cook, put it right on your recipe card thing. I don't know. But come up with that word and begin to speak it and begin to say what the Bible says about your situation and only speak that. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Go a step further. If you're married, Randy and I, we keep each other accountable. He hears me moaning and complaining. Nope, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the word of God says about your situation. And vice versa, me the same way. You know, lo and behold, I had an issue with my back. And then 3 days later, after deciding I was going to stand and stop speaking anything else other than the truth, which was the word of God, Randy started having a back problem. I said, that foul devil. I said, we laid in the same bed. He jumped from me to you. He said, oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no, he didn't. Don't make room for the devil. Amen? So you're going to look at your mountain, get a rhema word, and start speaking only that scripture. And let the person that you're with, a friend, a good friend, will hold you accountable to what that word is. Amen? Every eye closed, every head bowed. This is the most beautiful part of our service. This is the part where we get to offer Jesus to everyone present. That you may be here today and you may have walked in out of life just as a whirlwind and said, I need something and I don't know, maybe this is it. I'm telling you, this is what you came for. This is what you need. Not everything in your life gets immediately better, but it does get easier with Christ. I don't know how I would make it in this life without him. Is there anyone present in today's service that would say, Pastor Nicole, I want to know Jesus as my Savior today? That I feel this conviction in my heart right now, that even as you're speaking, and I don't want to put my hand up, but I feel a drawing. Let me tell you, if you feel that you want to lift your hand, and he's telling you not to, that's because the devil knows you're a force to be reckoned with. And he doesn't want you to meet Jesus. He doesn't want you to know him as your Savior. Is there anyone that would be bold enough today to say, that's me? You don't have to get out of your seats. We have a prayer team that's going to come to you this morning and pray with you individually. I do want to meet you after the service if you say yes to Jesus. But is there anyone that would say, that's me? Lift it up big, tall. I want to see. Prayer team, you're looking in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone at all? All right. While preparing for today, I heard two things in the supernatural realm, and I'm going to be real honest with you. If this is you, I don't want you to come up to me after service and say that was me, but I didn't have the boldness to come down. If God boldly called you out in the middle of service, then he's bold enough to heal what's present in your life. And I say that because God didn't have to do it this way, but he chose to do it this way. If your name is Debbie, this is going to sound corny, but I'm doing exactly what the God told me. Or Debbie Dawn that someone calls you, or your middle name's Dawn and you go by Debbie, or Debbie is your middle name and Dawn's your first. I don't know what that looks like. God says that there's a knee problem in your life and he wants to fix that. There's a healing that he wants to bring forth today. And then number two was a man named Kevin. I didn't see your face. I saw the name Kevin, and he says that there's some emotional baggage that has not been dealt with, and that you think you're okay. You think you're okay, but that breakthrough is coming even though you haven't dealt with it. God says he's ready to deal with it now. If either one of those are you and you know, okay. If either one of those are you, then I'm asking you to answer that call. This is Debbie. I know that. I know her name and purpose, but I didn't know. Debbie, does Dawn have something to do with you, Debbie? Does Dawn have a knee problem? Okay. I just want to know. I want to be, yep. Come on down. Praise Jesus. Is there a Kevin in this house? A Kevin that needs to walk through some stuff emotionally, some things maybe you thought you shut the door to, that really you just put a lock on it because you don't want to look at it. God says he's ready to open up that bag today and deal with it. Okay. Does anyone know a Kevin that's like that? Okay, but he's not here yet. Come down. Stand instead for him today. Yes, we'll take that. I'm going to use that as a leading of the Lord if no one else came. Look at all these people that know Kevin. I didn't even think that was a current name. But you have a Kevin also, Debbie. Hallelujah. Come on down. Boy, if you don't know, God's not in the name business, that he would call out people with Kevin and you guys would come down. I didn't know there was that many Kevins without emotional baggage. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to pray. Church, I'm asking you to stretch forth your hands. Use your own faith. And we're going to start with Debbie. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I speak to these knees. I command every bit of pain, every bit of friction, every bit of cartilage that needs to be rebuilt or retaken out, moved, bone shifted. I don't care what it is. Lord, you called her forth for a reason. Now, devil, I bind you and I command you to come off of her body right now in the name of Jesus and set her free and true healing come into her body, God. Nevermore does she have to worry about these knees anymore. Now, Debbie, I want you to do something you couldn't do by faith. Something you couldn't do. There you go. There you go. You're getting higher. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Look at that. Hallelujah. 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 What do you got? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Uh-huh. There's what? There's no pain. Now you imagine that would be the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we speak to Dawn, God, whatever this is, and Kevin, that she knows. God, I thank you, Lord, that you did this for Debbie to show her, God, that whatever these things are with Kevin, God, that you're going to deal with. You're going to deal with, Father. Now, the heaviness that's been in her heart for her family, God, what you'll do for Kevin, you'll do for everyone else. Now, Father, I thank you that you're unpacking that suitcase like you showed me, and you're beginning to deal with the emotional things that is keeping him from God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Kevin?
Yes, this man's marriage is completely falling apart.
Oh.
He believes that there's no way that God is still with him and that he fully expects to be on his way to hell.
Okay.
I have lunch with him. I continue to send texts and tell him how much he is loved by God. But
we're going to break that blindness off him today. Praise
Jesus.
Put your hands up. Father, right now, God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We speak to this Kevin who's running from you, whose marriage is falling apart. Now, God, right now in the name of Jesus, rescue him right now in the name of Jesus. Like Paul and Saul had an intervention from you. God, I'm asking you for a supernatural intervention. God, that his eyes would be open, that his ears would be able to hear. God, with new eyes would he see the situation. Father, and I'm asking you to intervene. Intervene, God, in your way, like the gentle God that you are, but wreck him and let him know that you are God. In Jesus' name. Kevin. Oh, Father, right now in the name, don't tell me. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to this father. God, I thank you. Father, for he thinks he's a good man. He thinks he's a good old boy, but God says, I'm looking for more than a good old boy. He's looking for a good boy to follow after Jesus. Now, do you know you're the solid one? You're the solitaire of your family. God says, I'm going to use you to bring in your family for the harvest. But you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to be silent in some times when you want to say some things. Only speak when the Holy Spirit tells you to speak. For God is at work. This is nothing that you can do, young man, to bring them. But God's going to use you and work through you to bring them to him, to the knowledge of him, but only to teach you to learn how to walk with the Spirit and to be quiet when you're supposed to and to speak when you're supposed to. That's a part of your gift. I don't know what it is that you're going to do, but I'm telling you, your mouth is a part of this gift. Learn how to yield it and wield it to the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you're going to see things begin to break forth in your life. You're unstoppable. You're an unstoppable young man. I can't tell you everything I see. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for the work you're doing in him. But God, I thank you, Lord, that Kevin, his father, God, would begin to see his need for you. Father, that you would draw him to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that every corner he takes, every turn he takes, there's another word of God somewhere around there, drawing him and wooing him to the cross. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that this young man, Father, has begun to be a solitaire in his family. Father, you would give him wisdom in this situation. And Father, I just ask, I don't know, I see this need that you want to be there when your dad gives his life to Jesus. And I see you standing right beside him when he does. I don't see where you're at, but I know God's going to come through. Believe God. Don't give up. Father, we thank you, Lord. We speak to this brother. I command right now complacency, this running. I command you in the name of Jesus to take off those running shoes. Take off those running shoes. You have ran from the Lord long enough. Now we command that toil and that straining, that striving to stop right now in the name of Jesus. Make an about face and turn into the Savior. For time is short and you need to know the Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you. We call Kevin home right now in the name of Jesus. That emotional baggage. Well, I see a relationship. I don't know much about Kevin. I didn't grow up with Kevin, but I'm telling you, there's a relationship that has wounded that boy, that man, when he was a boy. And God said, I'm going to begin to unpack some of that stuff in his life. I'm going to begin to unpack that old relationship that's caused so much wound and resistance to me. And I'm going to unpack it and heal him in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
He knows Jesus.
Okay.
I just mentioned Kevin.
baggage. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, this man knows you. Father, for he set his life towards you. Now, God, I'm asking you that he would not settle for less than full freedom. Father, that this emotional duress in his life, this same hiccup that keeps coming back around, this cyclic behavior, I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I break the devil's hold of this oppression in his life in the name of Jesus. I speak life to those dead situations. I speak a new fire and spark in his life that he would begin to pursue the things of Christ and begin to seek that freedom that the devil has told him he has to live with this the rest of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we just speak to this ex-son-in-law. And Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you see this young man. And Father, you see the grandchildren that he's gave and that he's molded. But God, I'm asking you, Lord, that though their life may not have much connection now, God, I'm asking you that you would draw him closer to the cross. God, I'm asking you that you would draw him in. God, that he could become the father that he's supposed to be for these children. God, that he would become the man after your own heart. God, to lead these children in the way of everlasting in the name of Jesus. Devil, I bind you. I see a yoke of sin bound around his neck. I don't know what that is, but I break its power right now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to be broken and destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you, God, that he will begin to cry out for help to those he knows around him that are of Christian faith. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Okay. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. The salvation is the beginning, Father, of new life. But Father, that we can have as much of you as we want. Now, God, I thank you, Lord, that there become a yearning and a desire from the inside of Kevin's heart, God, that would rise up out of the inside of him. But up out of his belly shall flow living waters right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that he would begin to run to the sanctuary. People who are safe. People who will tell him that he needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Father, this Spirit would draw him to the cross closer, God. That freedom would be wrought. Freedom would be wrought in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. Yes. Amen. Are you filled with the Spirit?
Yes.
I just saw you walk in the floor praying in the Spirit for him every single day. Prayers you know not of. Let the Spirit intercede for Kevin on his behalf through you.
Amen.
You got that, sister?
Yes.
All right. Love you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Church, I need all of you, as many as can come, I want you to come and surround Miss Mary right now. Out of your seats. I need a supernatural deposit of faith into her life from her community of believers. Mary has begun an in-home dialysis, but she lacks people. She lacks faith because she said, I've been alone. I've been at home. My faith is growing weary because she's in the fight. I wish I had a picture, Mary, to show you. There's almost not a seat that's got a person in it because they're all coming to your aid. Now, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, everyone give your faith. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak openly, Father, for strength for Mary. Strength in the time of weakness, God. I thank you that the devil's lying to her and telling her faith is gone. But, Father, her faith is not gone. Father, it needs refilled by the working of your word. Father, we as her family of faith, we stand in the gap for her. We fight in the trenches with her. God, we use our faith to stand for her. Father, for when the devil comes at her from every side, the north, south, the east, and the west, Father, we cover her in the blood of the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you would strengthen her limbs. Give her strength in her legs. Strength in her mind, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You foul devil, we command you to get off of Mary. Get off of Mary in the name of Jesus. Salvation and healing is hers in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that her quality of life, Father, would begin to pick back up. That the life, the renewing of her mind, God, in her life would begin to restore to her right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. Now, church, you keep interceding. You keep interceding. Keep interceding. All right, church. Mary, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit, amen, and renewed in your walk with Christ. Thank you, church. Thank you for all being so loving. Thank you for giving what you have so much of. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, such as I give thee. You gave her what you had today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So much is found in the community of faith. A community of believers. I remember when my father was very sick, that the only thing I needed to do was get amongst the believers to just sit and worship with you, that my faith could be fueled and my heart could be full. Let's break its power. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just come before you. I speak to that alcoholic. I speak to that alcoholic nature which wants to cover the pain and cover the struggle that's in his life. I speak to that right now. I command that addiction to be broken in the name of Jesus and come off this young man named Kevin. You will not lead this woman in that direction. You will not lead this next generation, for she is a chosen generation. She is of a bloodline of Christ. You will come into the alignment of the Word of God right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, begin to open his eyes. Begin to show him the pathway through salvation, which is his connection to healing in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that every drink that young man would take from this day forward, God, that he would be sickened in his gut, repulsed by what alcohol can do. And God, thankful for what a Savior could do in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, if you would, grab the hand to the person next to you. You don't have to cross aisles if you don't want, but I want you to remind you that you have a community. And there is strength in numbers. As my mom said years ago, the banana left from the bunch is the one that's easily peeled. This is your bunch. This is your bunch. Don't get cut from them, or you get easily peeled by the devil, right? You can't hide from us. Someone in your row will call you if you're not here. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for what you've ordered for us today. Father, that you ordered from every song to every worship to every scripture to every prayer here at the altar. But Father, you're ordering this moment too. Father, we encourage each other. We encourage each other in the Lord. Father, lifting one another up, bearing each other's burdens, Father, in this house. And Father, we just thank you for what you've done. God, I'm asking that you equip each and every one of us with the boldness of your Spirit this week. God, that we would go out those doors and share the gospel with just one more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We will see you on Wednesday night, church. See you then.